How are you? Notice, first people in the room to respond with a, I'm fine, British people. See, you probably, if you've come to England from another country, growing up somewhere else, then you may well have gathered quite quickly that the standard kind of British answer to how are you is, I'm fine, or all right. Or if we want to go really short, we just say, all right, and that's it. You know, that's hopefully sometimes we can go a little bit deeper with each other, you know, and not just do a how are you, I'm fine. But, you know, the standard on the street morning greeting is, all right, and that's as far as we go. And every now and then, someone might ask you, or every now and then someone asks me, a slightly deeper question. How are you doing spiritually? How are you doing with God? How are you doing as a follower of Jesus? However we want to put it. Sometimes you get asked those kind of questions. And it's kind of what we've been looking at as we've started this year. The little series that we've been doing as we've worked through the start of this year has been helping us kind of think a little bit about, well, how are we doing spiritually? And how are we doing, if you like, with some of the basic spiritual disciplines, you might call them, but just things like reading the Bible and prayer. We've been asking those questions. How are we doing those? How do they help us to grow? And how are they a part of our lives? A little bit of what we've been doing has been based on this book called Spiritual Health Check. We gave it out a couple of years ago. We gave a copy to everybody. So lots of people will already have one. You might like to take a look at it. We're still vaguely near the beginning of the year. It's a good time to do it. If you haven't got a copy and you'd like one, I've got one. So if you get to me first, it's yours. I might have some more somewhere else, but I've definitely got one here because it's there. So if you like one, come and ask. And it's helping you ask that question, well, how are you doing spiritually? And for me, I'll think about those things. My instant reaction will be to think, well, you know, have I been reading the Bible? Have I been praying? Have those things been just going through the motions? Or have there been things where actually I'm aware of God speaking to me? And if God is saying something to me, am I actually listening and doing anything about it? Do I have an awareness of God in my life? Those are the kinds of things I might think of. I wonder about you. If that's a question that anyone ever asks you, or if how you might answer it if they did. How are you doing spiritually? How's your walk with God? How do you feel you're growing as a Christian? And perhaps your answers might be similar ones to mine. Perhaps you might think of similar kinds of things. What does spiritual growth look like for us? And ultimately, somewhere in there, hopefully, we have a desire that we are looking to become more like Jesus. But when we answer those questions and we think about those things that we're doing, it makes you think that actually if we're wanting to grow, we're looking to grow spiritually, we're looking to become more like Jesus. And so much of that stuff is about things that we do ourselves. It makes me think, well, why do we need to be here together? Because actually, you could stay at home this morning and you could listen to a better sermon than this. You know, I'm not afraid to admit it. You can find somewhere on the internet. You can listen to world-famous preachers. You could watch God TV. You could go on to many, many different services and hear a band that's better than our band. I don't think they'd be too offended by me saying that. That you can, you know, go online and listen to professional musicians. And have a great time. And that might help you to grow, to hear something of what God wants to say, to have an experience of worship in some way. So what's the point in us coming out on a grey and horribly windy day to be together? We can answer that question, how are you doing spiritually, all on our own, without the need for anyone else. Of course, we've already been helped. The sermon's been preached several times already this morning, hasn't it? To help us with thinking that actually we're not alone. As we come and we look at 1 Corinthians 12, we see very quickly that this is not just about us being isolated and alone. Just the first couple of verses. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Twice in two sentences, form one body. The point of this is that we're together, that together we form one body. one body together. We were all baptized, it talks about here. Now, Paul's writing to a church in Corinth saying that you've all had the same baptism. We might have been baptized in different ways. If you've been baptized, there might have been different forms of baptism that we've experienced. But the point is still the same. We've all been baptized, if you have been, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to become a follower of Jesus, to be baptized, submit to him in that way, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We share in that common experience. If you come to know Jesus, then you share in that same Holy Spirit, same God coming and living in you by the one Spirit. You are one body, and we share in one baptism in one Spirit. And there's many different parts. There are many different parts to that body. The body's not made up of one part, but many. The fact that we're that one body doesn't mean we're all the same. And it's clear that we are all different. We're all unique. We come from all sorts of different backgrounds, different upbringings, different nations, different experiences of church. We've been given different strengths. We've got different spiritual gifts, different things we're able to bring into the life of the church. One body made up of many parts. And we thought about this a little bit as we talked about what it meant to come and share communion together. We expressed that as we come and share communion, it's not just about coming and receiving the one body of Jesus, but that we come as one body to share in the one body of Jesus Christ. As we come and share in communion, we do so coming together, recognizing that we've been united in him. We are one body. And Paul goes on to put in really kind of clear and simple ways that is great. We can express to children really easily what it means to be that one body. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. The point is saying it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. Paul chose a foot very specifically as he talks about it because feet at the time were unspeakably unclean. You wouldn't talk about feet. They weren't a good part of the body in the culture that Paul was writing. It's why it was so shocking that Jesus would wash his disciples' feet. So he picks feet very deliberately in saying a foot, just because it's so horrible and disgusting and awful, doesn't stop being part of the body. It doesn't matter what you think of yourself as part of this body. If you think you're weaker or not so useful or feel that you have little to offer, you don't stop being part of the body. In fact, God's placed every part of the body where he wants them to be, and that we need all the different parts of the body. Everyone has something that they're able to bring. There are many parts, and all those parts in the body have to work together. And the reverse is also true. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. I don't know if that's a joke in Greek, but it works for me. The eye can't say, I don't need you. No, just me. Okay. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. That even if you think you're great and you're strong and you've got so much that you can offer to the life of the body, to the life of the church, you can't say to other parts that they are somehow not as important or not necessary or not a part of it. The whole body can't be made up of one part, but we all have to come together. Every part is needed. One part cannot reject another. And we get that, maybe that's a familiar image to us. We've been through this and we've talked about this before. We recognize that we are this one body. But then what is it that when we come to think about our own spiritual health, that own process of growing to become more like Jesus, that we suddenly become so individual? That actually we suddenly stop focusing on that bigger part of the body, all those parts working together, and we suddenly start focusing just upon one part. Think of it a bit like this. It would be a bit like you go to your doctor and you say, doctor, I've got a problem with my foot. I've got this cut on the bottom of my foot. It's been there for weeks. It's not healing up. It's got worse and worse. It's really painful. It's kind of oozing yellow stuff out of it now. And it's getting a bit green around the edges. And it's really, really painful. I'm limping on it. Will you come and help? You know, what should we do about my foot? And the doctor turned around to you and said, don't worry about your foot because your arms are really well toned. They're looking great. Your arms seem in great condition. Don't worry about your feet. Your arms are absolutely fine. I think very quickly you'd be saying, I'd like a second opinion. We get it. It's such a clear image, isn't it? We get it with the body. We go, if one part of it is weaker, the whole of the body has a problem. But we get caught up very easily because we live in a part of the world that has a massive focus on the individual, upon me, upon I. About what I want, about what I desire, about how I'm doing, about myself, and fulfilling who I want to be. We have a big focus upon me. And we bring that into the church. And all the more we bring it into the church, because another part of where we are in the culture is that something that says that spirituality is definitely something that's personal. You can have a faith, that's fine, we'll respect that, but please don't bring your faith into work or school or our friendship or public. We recognise and we rejoice in the fact that we're free to be here and to worship together, but there are plenty of people that would quite like the Christian faith to remain inside the church and on a Sunday. And as Christine was, I think, praying, I'll lose track which one we were doing, but we're talking about actually it's easy to be a Christian on a Sunday, but harder to be on a Monday to Saturday. And part of that's because there's this push to faith being something that is simply personal. And it's about what you do in private or in one of those religious buildings. So it becomes very much about the individual and not something that is shared with other people. So we come and we ask that question, how am I doing spiritually? And we think about me, isolated from everybody else. And then we come back to what that verse actually says at the beginning. One body, though many parts, all its parts form one body. That's what it means to be in Christ. Not to be isolated and separate, but to be together. And too often we think about ourselves in that kind of way that's cut off and separate from others. And actually, if you take a part of the body and you cut it off from other bits, it doesn't look so healthy. If you cut off your hand and isolate it from everything else, you wouldn't generally think it was a very healthy thing. In fact, if we take one part of the body and cut it off from everything else, we generally think that it was dead. And we get it with the body. And yet too easily we consider ourselves in isolation. We consider ourselves like this, cut off and isolated from everything else. For those who are really squeamish, it's just plastic, okay? I'll leave it there. And we get it physically, don't we? If we cut off a part of the body, then it's going to die. And actually also, we get it's going to cause massive pain to the rest of the body. And yet too often we consider ourselves in that way. And physically we know that it's dead. If we're going to cut it off, it's going to die. What does that mean spiritually? If we cut ourselves off, if we go with that plan of saying, well, actually, if it's about me, I can just be isolated. I can watch God TV. I can listen to good sermons online and I can listen to good worship music. I know I'm in some sense preaching to the converted because you're here. But you get what I mean? If we cut ourselves off like that, what does it mean for our spiritual health when we're isolated? Is this what we become? I don't know if you become spiritually dead, isolated from the rest of the body, but I think you certainly become very useless to the kingdom of God. You just receive and you don't give. And what does it mean then for us to consider our spiritual health, not in this kind of way, cut off and isolated from everybody else, but to consider it as part of the body? Well, is it just one thing it might mean for us? Is that actually, if we're going to think about how we're doing, actually, we're not going to be more healthy than the rest of the body. In the same way that if you went to the doctor and you said, I've got this massive problem with my foot, you wouldn't be satisfied with going, yeah, but my arms are fine. You go, there's a problem here. I'm spiritually not very healthy because there's problems in the wider body. Actually, if we're going to come and ask that question of ourselves seriously, how am I doing in my walk with God? We also need to look at the rest of the body and say, how are we doing together? How's the body of the church functioning? Because we're the body of Christ, and each one of us is a part of it. So if there's a problem with another part of the body, well, actually, there's a problem for us too. And Colossians helps us a little bit, I think, with thinking about this further. Colossians chapter 3, looking from verse 15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And we recognise this, again, as we talked about coming and sharing in communion together. That coming together, we come together as a body, and we're to be at peace with one another as we come and share communion, recognising that we are that body of the church. So if we're going to ask that question, well, as a church, how are we doing spiritually together? Well, one way of beginning to answer that question is, are we living at peace with one another? Actually, are we a people living at peace as the body of Christ together? Now, that doesn't mean that we always get along. My body does not always get along with the rest of it. My head would like to cycle for many, many, many miles. My legs disagree with this idea. Now, after a little while, my head has to catch up with where my legs are. If they stayed arguing for a long time, there would be problems. But after a little while, my legs speak enough, and we find that we're in agreement. It doesn't mean we're always going to share exactly the same opinions. Let's remember, it's one body made up of many parts. We're different. And we rejoice in lots of that, yeah? We've already rejoiced at the different ages that are in the life of the church, the different kind of people that we are. We're a different bunch of people. At points, there's going to be disagreements. But are we able to work through those things and live at peace with one another? Jesus said that people will know us by our love for each other. People will know that we're his followers by our love for one another. Are we a body? Are we a church that's demonstrating that kind of love for each other? Are we reaching out and welcoming and building relationship with each other? Or was welcome something we talked about a couple of years ago and we're finished with that now? Are we a people who are showing that kind of love and growth together? That's one way we can look at the health of the body together. And that passage goes on. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Are we a people who actually, as we look at what the Bible says, as we read it personally and together, as we're praying and we're seeking to hear from God and what he's saying for us today, are we a people who are sharing that with one another? Are we a people who are ready to share what it is that we're learning, to help teach each other, to encourage people, and yet to challenge people, to admonish people even? Are we ready to do that together? Or have we bought into that idea within the church even, that your spiritual life is something that you do on your own and not something that's shared together? That we're better separate rather than as one body? And maybe you feel, well, what am I able to offer? You feel like you're perhaps weaker, not able, you know, oh, surely I can't teach others. You might not be in a place where you can stand up and do a sermon. But actually, if you're ready to open the Bible and to read what God's saying. If you're ready to look at that seriously for yourself. If you're ready to pray and to ask God that he might speak to you. Then actually I believe you can come and you can share that with other people. Actually, God's really spoken to me about this. I feel really encouraged that we should be doing that. I felt really challenged about this part of my life. And I wonder if that's a challenge for you as well. Are we ready to share those things with each other? It's a sign of a healthy body. And it goes on, not just about teaching and admonishing one another, but actually look at how it says to do it. Teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Actually, it talks here about coming together in worship together to encourage one another, to teach one another even, actually as we gather together in worship. This is something that we do together, something we've already been doing a bit of together this morning as we come together and we worship. That our health is as a body, not as cut-off individuals. That actually if we're going to grow to be healthy, we do it together as the body of Christ. So how do we do that? How can you be involved in doing that? What does it mean to be that body together and helping one another grow? Three simple things that I think we can all do. One, I think we can talk to each other. It's a good start. To talk with one another. Maybe when we started off and said, how are you doing spiritually? That's not a question that anyone asks you very often. Or maybe a question you've never asked anybody else. How are you? Actually, how are you doing in your walk with God? Maybe that's a question we can begin to ask one another. There's all sorts of different ways that we can approach that. But maybe we can begin to talk to each other in that way to actually help one another grow. It's just the windows upstairs. It's all right. If someone ties them up, they might not flap about so much. They've been there 100 years. I suspect they'll be there longer. He says, with confidence. To talk with one another. To share with each other. To ask those deeper questions. To take faith in our walk with God away from something that is purely personal and isolated to something that is together as part of the body. And to do that, you might need to be in a place that actually you've got the relationships with people to have that conversation. Maybe you feel there's no one that you could open up that kind of conversation with right now. Actually, you might need to build some relationship with people to grow with others, to go and have coffee with someone, to have someone over for lunch, join a home group or a small group, a place where you can do that. Or just ask someone, would you like to meet and pray together? To begin having spaces where actually you can have those conversations. Maybe you feel really weak in the midst of that, and you feel you have very little to offer. If that's where you're at, you can even come to someone and say, well, would you help me? Would you help me to read the Bible? Would you help me to know God more? Would you help me to grasp hold of this? To begin by talking and opening up those conversations together. And sometimes those are quite, as Laura was helping us this morning, sometimes those are quite scary things to do. I'm not saying it's easy. But actually, as we were reminded, we grow as we step out in faith. And then we grow together. In worship, that we grow together. Part of what actually we encourage each other by is by coming and worshipping together. The songs that we've been singing are words of encouragement to one another. We come and we do these things together. And as a part of doing that, simply by being present together, that we join together as the body of Christ to worship together. The most basic level is being here. So well done. You're at level one. You've got here. Good stuff. As we're encouraged as well, actually, as Laura was already sharing earlier, we encourage one another as we just simply speak out and lead one another in prayer. How encouraging it is as the body together we speak out and we share with each other. actually just taking that step. And well done for those who might have done that for the first time this morning, of just actually speaking out loud and praying together. We encourage one another as we do that. We encourage one another as we step out in those ways and as we share together. There's all sorts of ways we can do that. It's not just in open prayer times, but those are great things. As we sometimes do little things in small groups and we can share together in that way. As people participate and help lead in worship in other ways. We'd love to see more creative expressions of that. If you're into art or photography or dance or drama, and you can take something of what the gospel means to you and come and express it in a way that helps the rest of us to grasp and see something that maybe we've not seen before, to be encouraged and to get something of who Jesus is across in a new way. We can be that body together in worship and bring those different strengths together. And finally, I hope we can all pray. As we were talking about just a couple of weeks ago, the difference how we come, how much we work at stuff and how much we pray. Actually, if we're going to become stronger as a church, if we recognise there's an issue in a part of the body, if we see that there's someone that we would love to see grow and know more of Jesus, actually, we can't make it happen. We can't force someone to change. We can't make someone grow to be more like Jesus. We can't make someone's heart change. But we know someone who can bring that change into people's lives. We know someone whose spirit can work to transform people. We know that it is God who makes things grow. So let's also take that commitment to pray for each other, to pray for the body of the church, to pray for us together, to pray for individuals. So why we put effort into putting on the next sheet those who particularly need prayer at certain times. That's why we've got an app now. You can do that on too, and the information's on the notice sheet about that. If you want to know people to be praying for in the life of the church, they're there. That's why home groups spend a good amount of their time sharing prayer requests for each other and praying for one another, so that together we might grow. Because there is so much that we can't do, but God can. Pray for the body together. And as we do that, and as we together each play our part, as we view ourselves not as cut off and isolated individuals, but each one of us a member and a part of this body, the body grows and we all grow together. Because we are different parts. We have different strengths. We have different gifts. And we need one another in order to function properly. We need the different parts and roles that people will play in order to help us to grow. We need the different part and the role that you will play in order to help this body to grow. And actually, we find also, as we consider ourselves not cut off and isolated individuals, but as we go out and we seek to help others to grow, we find that actually we grow too. That actually the body becomes healthier, and we become healthier as a part of it. As the body grows, we all grow. Our walk with God is not something that's isolated and individual and cut off from everyone else. But actually our health is something that's together as the body of Christ. You are the body. We are the body. And each one of you is a part of it. Christine's going to lead us. Thank you, Christine.